podcast is called What the Fuck Does Billy Know About? What the fuck does Billy know about Bill?
He's not here, mate.
What do you mean he's not here? Who are you?
I'm Andy.
Andy who?
Andy Paul. Something to do with the Panic Awards. I'm here. But last time I saw Bill, he was hanging out of Andy Key's arse.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm here to replace him.
Okay, it's nice for someone to tell me, considering that it's actually my house. Who let you in?
Dogs.
Fucking bastards.
Yeah.
Right, okay, alright, well, I suppose you'll have to do then. okay, so, scrap that. Let's start again. Home records of Tony Danza, blah, 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 fade out, blah, blah, blah. Right, go. This episode is called What the Fuck Does Andy Know About
Music in Movies?
How did you know that? I didn't even tell you what we're doing.
I know, I'm a fucking genius, mate.
Fucking yeah, you're creepy, man. You just come round my house.
Creepy genius.
Creepy genius. Yeah, so obviously, by the looks of it, Billy's not here today.
He's not.
He's got a hangover. He was actually due to be here today, but he's suffering, so when he listens back to this, not that he actually listens to it, to be honest. I don't actually think he listens to it. I think he just turns up. He's like Johnny Depp. He comes
it'd be nice
in,
if he did.
He does his bit, and then goes. And then someone comes up to him and says, oh, Johnny Depp, you know, you were in that great film a couple of years ago. Do you remember it? He goes, no, I don't remember that. I weren't in that. That's what Billy does, you know. So if you see him in the street and say, I loved your show last week, he wouldn't have no idea what you're talking about.
Tell him it's a shame that he's in the granny porn as well.
Well, he'd probably agree with it and say, oh, well, you know, it gets me through the day. That's what it does. But, okay, well, so, like Andy just said, before I didn't even tell him, he's just making it up.
What, Billy's into granny porn?
No, no, that's true.
Oh, okay.
That's advice.
We've got a topic, haven't we?
We have a topic. Music in movies. And that's because...
This is a Panic Awards special.
Say it again.
This is a Panic Awards special.
One more time, in case no one heard it.
This is the most loosely linked pile of bullshit of guys talking with a vague, vague reason... Just about related to the Panic Awards. It's a Panic Awards special!
So it's got nothing to do with the Panic Awards.
Fuck all. Absolutely fuck all.
But it's a Panic Awards special.
But the Panic Awards is about music.
Yes.
And your podcast is about movies.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're so clever, we decided to blend these two things together and do a podcast about music and movies.
Because we all know that music and movies are interlinked with each other.
Intrinsically.
They don't just begin with the same letter. That's not the only reason.
No, it's not just that.
The other one is that there is music in movies.
And about movies.
So we decided to say, well, let's make a topic about music in movies.
I think we've ground the point. Yeah.
I think you got that?
Yeah, I think right. I have.
So today's episode is about Vanilla Ice.
Yep. And thus we will also possibly get on the subject of that shitty Halifax advert.
Yes. I don't know why. I don't know this guy.
The Vanilla Ice music in the... Have you not seen it?
Oh, no, yeah.
Ice a baby.
The reason I said it was because he was on the telly behind you.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
I can't think of anything worse than Vanilla Ice behind me.
I can.
He's a creepy motherfucker. He's got Lego hair.
Have you seen him on this? Your hair. It's anyone who knows Andy Paul, look him up. Look at his hair. He can't say nothing about Lego hair.
Yeah, when you look me up, don't add any extra words. You might get the wrong thing.
Right, okay, well, let's get the ball going. We've already started, so let's carry on. Let's not...
Well, we were introed there by the wonderful Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer by Elton John, Almost Famous.
He's a new mum.
Yeah.
He has a child. So, you know, that's how it goes nowadays. You know, but
what if he's breastfeeding?
If it's anything but the residue of drugs from his 70s and 80s years that is coming out, seeping out of his wounds.
If it was that strong, I'd probably breastfeed from Elton John.
That's why he lost his hair, didn't he?
I just said that and it was recorded, didn't I?
Yes. This is actually going to be going. We're going to send this to the police.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, we've got him.
I'm not sure how they'd arrest me for that, though. We heard you saying that if Elton John, his breast milk was still full of drugs, you would supple at the nipple of Elton John.
The beauty of editing.
It's great, isn't it?
You're going to say other things. Like, I'm going to make you say child, later, porn.
I want suck, Elton, yeah. John, cock, for drugs.
Whilst watching child porn.
Yes.
Which I wouldn't even have to edit. He'd probably just say it in a sentence anyway.
Well, he's got the kid, you know. We need a camera
then.
What? You went down the child porn route.
I like Elton John and his kid.
So would I if I was there with a camera.
Right. Well, I kind of wrote stuff down for this one. If I 5 minutes in and we're already getting... That's it. So, yeah. So, what I'd usually ask Billy now was just a quick synopsis of what he knows about the topic.
Yep.
So, what do you kind of know about music in movies? Just a vague kind of like...
Everything and nothing. It's one of those things that anything to do with music or movies or any art form, you can never know everything. And music in movies, generally my knowledge is from the films I love, the music I love, and the blending of the two in various ways. But yeah, it's wicked. It can make a film, I think. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely makes a film. Like themes make films.
Yeah.
Themes definitely. What about music which is actually made for a film, like a song which is specifically recorded for the soundtrack, and then
we're going down that whole Bryan Adams route now.
Yes.
It can be beautiful and amazing, like Jennifer Warner or whatever her name was with that big fat fella with the great voice whose name's just completely left me when they did Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong.
Oh yeah, it's Joe Cocker, wasn't it?
Joe Cocker. Yeah, fat bloke with the amazing voice. I thought I covered that bass. that's a great cheesy classic. But everything I do for you, not so good.
For an action film,
yeah.
Kevin Costner.
Oh,
so yeah, I don't like Kevin Costner.
Nasty.
And he talked, in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
He didn't even try to do an accent. That's what annoys me.
No, he forgot.
If he had tried and failed, like in the recent Robin Hood movie, he would have been fine. I'd have been happy with that. But the fact that he just sort of walked
didn't even
up,
bother. Lazy. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Robin Hood. Oh, he wasn't Australian. but yeah, he was fucking awful. It was awful. And they should have come up with a much better song. It should have been Rocky, action-y. It should have been Aerosmith.
See, it's like when he done Waterworld. I really hate that film because he didn't drown. And they made a massive, like, sub sort of thing about it that he can't drown because he has gills. And I thought, what a cheek way of getting out of it.
Yeah.
People went to Waterworld thinking, it's water. He's going to drown. And then he didn't drown.
His opposite lady, and that was the wonderfully named Jean Triplehorn.
Yeah. And the bird from Andre.
Yes.
The little kid from Andre.
I prefer not to refer to her as a bird, she was six. Well, bird I reserve for adult lady men.
Yes, like John Leguizano, 2 Wong Fu.
Indeed, yes.
There you go.
I would have done. I'd have done Wesley Snipes if I was drunk enough.
You wouldn't have to be drunk. I don't think you'd be.
Not at the moment. I just need to be in the cell next to him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's in prison, isn't he?
He is. Yeah.
Has he ever sung a song?
I don't know, but I bet he's singing now.
Right. Okay. We'll just start off with the first topic which I wrote down because the reason we're starting with it, it's no actual reason. It's to the top of my list. That's it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is this is a narrative to this? This is like Memento. We could work backwards. It could come back with some
I'm
story.
I'm backwards most of the time. I wouldn't worry.
You very are. Okay, so let's start off with the first one. I'm going to play a clip of it, and most of you people who listen to us and have no idea who the fuck this is or what it's from or what it's about or anything, and I seem to have lost it. So
there you go.
Well, there it is. Oh, it's right in front of me. I ignored it. Yeah, you're not going to have any idea what this is. I'll play it and then I'll explain it afterwards.
Before we get started, the management have requested me to sniff out the owner of these. He's just found them in the gents. Still warm. She can't be far away. Now come on, don't be shy. We don't want anybody catching cold. Winter draws on. Really? Oh, it's all right. We've just found they belong to him.
It's tasted him!
So that was... Tell me who that was,
Andy. That was Slade.
That was Slade.
From the amazing film Slade in Flame, which is a much overlooked classic of the band movie genre.
Hidden classic.
Yeah, 1975. Slade were huge. I'm sure most people listening to this don't know who Slade are, or if they do, they just know it for the Christmas tune and Noddy Holder shouting out, "It's Christmas." But they...
What a way to make your money, eh?
That's brilliant. He's been doing it ever since.
That's bloody much. Homeless guy says it every week, Dad. I ain't getting no money out of it.
To be honest, Noddy does look like a tramp homeless guy anyway. So
it might be him.
It could well be him. If Noddy holds up the road, we should get him in. get him to shout it's Christmas and possibly shoot him. I don't know. But he's the The band were great, much underrated band, and the film was an attempt to make a serious band movie, which didn't really happen at the time. But it was advertised as a silly band flick, and then people went to see it, and it's actually quite a grimy, depressing, slightly edgy, weird film. Mark Kermode champions it repeatedly in his...
Old depressing movie, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
So this was in 1975. Was this out before that Pinball Wizard and all that, or was it out afterwards?
Well, I thought you were about to say, was this out before I was born or not? At which point I was ready to glass you.
I didn't know how old he is.
It was pretty much at the time when they were one of the hot new bands about. They hadn't reached that sort of legend of British rock or British
Christmas
rock at the
one.
Time. But it was also just before that whole turnaround with punk coming out, where everything went a bit weird and glam was sort of up in the air. So it was a brave attempt, and it's a great film. People should watch it. It is a snapshot
north,
of the 70s.
Set up north.
Yeah.
Typically
grim.
Like grim. See, you know, Billy Elliot, there's no dancing in this one.
Oh no, it's proper, apart from Slade, who are obviously very special looking in their ridiculous clothing.
Yeah.
It's very much whippets and flat caps and pies and fat blokes.
Oh, well, these boys with bands, yeah. They're in the old social clubs and stuff like that. Yeah, so that was in 1975.
Brave film.
So, like you said, that then leads you on to, like, what, before the punk revolution?
Exactly.
Yeah, which then took you into there's a movie which was made in 2009, Oil City Confidential.
A remarkable documentary by Julian Temple.
I don't know who that is.
He's very good.
Is he?
He's done a lot.
What else has he done?
A lovely list of his work.
Oh, he wears a cowboy hat.
He's also got the widest mouth on earth.
He has. Oh, he's in pre-production moment with a film called Gun Girl. I want to see that.
The Liberty of Norton Folgate, which is the Madness documentary, which
Madness
people should also look up. He did that wonderful Joe Strummer thing a while ago. Basically, he mainly does sort of promos
made the Glastonbury documentaries
and does a lot with bands.
Phil from the Fury, that's the Sex Pistols one.
Indeed, it is, yes.
Yeah, so. See, I know. See, I give the impression that I don't know, but I just don't care.
That's fine. Nobody cares about Dr. Feelgood. Four chaps from
who are Dr.
Canvey Island. Their biggest hit was Milk and Alcohol by a long, long shot. Hugely popular. The chorus guys got it on Milk and Alcohol. Some people know it. If you're into your sort of proto-punk music, then that is a sort of a real turning point for music. And Oil City Confidential talks about the band, about Wilco Johnson, who was the sort of main figurehead of the band, and the fact that they came from the shittest place on earth.
Canvey Island. Exactly. And we're not saying Canvey Island's shit. It's true.
There's no question about it. It is shit. It's second to Romford.
And the thing is, though, the good thing about Canvey Island is that you can plan your insults perfectly there. You can stand one end of the bridge and you can shout insults at them. But time it so the tide comes in. So they can't come and get you. And then you get a head start.
Yeah.
And then they don't like to leave their town.
You're forgetting they're very good at swimming with their web feet.
Oh, they came across it from Waterworld.
Yeah, that's it. That's the
motherfuckers. They're going to make a remake.
Canvey Island is Waterworld. The only difference being that in Waterworld everything was beautiful. In Canvey Island, pretty much every single part of Canvey Island looks less attractive than the inside of my bowels.
So it should really be Waterworld.
Yeah.
There you go. That's Waterworld. Well, that's Canvey Island, but that's Canvey Island. That should be Waterworld. So, like, you know, 70s and 80s, obviously a good time. People seem to love making movies.
It was a real heyday for making films about bands.
Exactly, yes.
And in the 50s,
even like making documentaries about bands.
Oh, yeah, just basically bands with the hottest property in the world.
How many major movies do you get about Bananarama?
Yeah.
Or Five Star? I mean, you don't see their films.
I'd love to see a Five Star documentary.
You don't? How many 80s and 90s bands do you see, like big documentaries which are gritty and interesting?
It's just not there.
Yeah, you can imagine like the Steps.
Well,
the making of Steps, and it could be like grit, H on heroin.
Right, you look at Buddy, what's his face from Nirvana, that twat with the stupid lank hair. What's his name?
Kurt Cobain.
Shot himself dramatically whilst listening to REM.
He was asking, right? He was attention seeking.
You look at, I don't know, Michael Hutchence. Wanked himself to death, hanging from the rafters.
See, that scared me.
Thinking about his wife, probably.
Because all I heard that he wanked himself to death, and I shit myself. Well, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally committing suicide every time I put my hand down your pants.
Oh, well, you don't asphyxie wank, do you?
Oh, is that when you put a bag over your head or something?
Well, yeah, with you. If I was having sex with you, I'd put a bag in your head. I wouldn't bother with it when you're wanking.
15 minutes in, he's already tried to have sex with me. I know. I had a...
With a bag on your head. I would put a bag on your head. Just for fun. Right now. No. But he did that. Steve Marriott from The Small Faces set light to himself in his own bed, smashed out of his mind or something like that.
Fall off.
You can't imagine people like H from Steps doing something that rock and roll or having that sort of life.
You can see him. I can imagine him in a dirty den, sticking heroin in his arm.
I can imagine him, you know, going to a party and ending up with a traffic cone up his ass. But it doesn't mean that he'd be making good film, you know. It wouldn't be good documentary footage.
Some people might be. But no, yeah, that's true. So obviously there was an era of musicians in them days. They were the rock and roll kings. And
it was. Rock and roll was the new rock and roll back then, so...
Doesn't make any sense, that statement, does it, really? But
It's a meta statement.
They were off their heads when they said it. So that's how it works. But obviously, because of that, what that leads you into, like, the film, like, Almost Famous. The Cameron Crowe film, which was made in, 2001. I'm probably completely wrong. And now I'm going to have to look it up.
You're about right, actually. It's 2000. There we go.
But, you know, it came out in... I'm not even... Oh, I was going to say, it came out in December 2000. So it could have been 2001. No, it was January.
Which is a...
Oh, no! It did. It come out in the UK, 2001.
Oh,
January.
Look at that.
So, look at me. That's why I make the show. Because I'm the bollocks. And obviously, everyone knows what Almost Famous is about. Yeah. Little schoolboy. I say schoolboy, 15 years old.
Based on director Cameron Crowe's real life.
Follows a band, Stillwater.
Amazing. One of the best fake rock bands in the
movie. Actually sounded like a decent band.
They released an album afterwards, which,
And Billy Crudup is really good, isn't it?
He is good.
He's the main guy.
And Jason Lee's fucking
brilliant. That's right. Jason Lee sold it for me.
Although, still with Jason Lee, he's brilliant. In everything Kevin Smith does and everything else he's done, he's brilliant. But when he smiles, he looks like a creepy pedo. He's just got something
really
odd about him.
Creepy. Is that because you look in the mirror and you think, I look like Jason Lee?
I do, when I smile.
That's what all the kids say. And then, so I'm going to put the trailer on for that.
Go on.
Yeah, should I?
Yeah, go on.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other kids make fun of him because of how young he looks. Nobody includes him. They call him the narc behind his back.
They do?
One day, you'll be cool.
Let's see, you're the kid who's been sending me those articles from the school newspaper. What, are you, like the star of your school?
They hate me.
This is Rolling Stone magazine. We got a couple copies of your stories. I think you should be writing for us.
We can only pay, let me see, $700. I'll write a grant.
I'd like to interview you or somebody from your band.
Oh, the enemy.
A rock writer.
Ladies and
gentlemen! How old are you?
17.
Me too.
Actually, I'm 60.
Me too. Isn't it funny? The truth just sounds different.
I'm 15.
If you're going to be a true journalist, you cannot... make friends with the rock star. They're gonna fly you places for free. You're gonna meet girls. Oh God, it's gonna get ugly.
I am telling secrets to the one guy you don't tell secrets to.
I know what's going on.
Your mom called.
I have family members with severe anxiety problems.
Hey, you wanna go to a party with some good people looking to have a good time?
Don't take drugs.
Your mom kind of freaked me out.
It's Bowie!
Rockstar kidnapped my son.
I am a golden god!
Take drugs. Take drugs. I am a golden god. Yeah, you can't remember what
the train is. Oh, I did it early. I might put it on.
What do you take home? Trainer.
You are home.
What you get is
he made friends with them.
But it's not
yes.
Because they make you feel cool.
Amazing.
Hey, I met you. You are not cool.
Even just as trailer. Just three great songs in a row.
Just and then the band in the film, Stillwater, their songs themselves are extremely good.
Yeah. And they're original.
Yeah, completely original, written for the film. So
it's not like they're singing a song that you think, oh, that's that band. That's
no, exactly.
It's an original song.
Yeah, Fever Dog is in there, which is a brilliant. That's on my iPhone as we speak.
Geek.
But it's a great example. It's a sort of an homage to that era that we were talking about, of when bands were the biggest thing on earth and everything happened. You know, you could get away with anything. You know. Which is that's a fascinating world to explore, but especially with the hindsight of Cameron Crowe now.
And the fact that he kind of based it on his own experiences.
Yeah, he really was a 15-year-old journalist for Rolling Stone magazine. He did get those articles. He did speak to the guy from Cream magazine, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, probably the most wonderful fat man in existence after yourself. Not that you're fat. I wasn't saying that.
I didn't hear that, but I'm going to listen back and see whether actually just called me fat. So I didn't hear him say that, but now I'm a bit got a complex.
You're just big boned.
I'm just, yeah, I wear too much clothes.
Except where it counts. Sorry, Philip Seymour Hoffman is wonderful in it, and yeah, Cameron Crowe really did meet these people and have a wonderful time and a bit of a scary time with them. You know, and it must have been a heck of a lesson when you're 15, hanging around a bunch of older people doing drugs and, you know, having sex and making music and just having this life.
That's what being a part of a band is.
Yeah,
definitely. I think anyone who's nominated for Panic Hall for Best Band, see, I shooed all
in. Oh, you brought it back to the Panic Hall.
20 minutes in, I managed to come back to it all.
You're a star.
Exactly. That's what I'm sure.
They should be looking towards that. Some of them may be living that life now.
I'm sure you don't just sit there and one day play an instrument and say, I'm going to be in a band, but I don't want any recognition. I don't want to make any good songs. I don't want anybody to like me. I just want to sit in my room and play it by myself. There probably is people out there like that, but they're not the people that are in Panic Hall. People are, they want to be heard. They don't want to be attention seeking. They don't want to go on the X Factor and say, let's go and make a song because I'll sing that and blah blah blah, let's go crazy. If these people make a band, they just want to go out there and make music.
I think the joy of it is that you've got that world now where fame is something that's achieved in very different ways. You can go out and you can be really talented at something and it's a hard work situation, or you can go out and be part of something else.
Well, I feel bad now saying that X-Factor thing, because I feel bad because now I'm doing like a little pigeonhole thinking they're talentless. They're not. People who've gone the X-Factor, if you've got the talent, you deserve to be there. That's as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
It's the people that don't
It's
have
when
the
people
talent.
That don't have the talent win or become a successful.
Exactly.
Jedward are a prime example.
No, that's where
they don't deserve any of their money or any of their fame. And people say, oh, but they're funny. You can laugh at them. Yeah. No, fuck that. So, I want to see them dead.
Yeah, Lee Evans is funny, but you don't see him on X Factor.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. But, yeah,
this year you had Matt, obviously, who won, who was our finalist last year with Seven Summers, who were a fucking brilliant band. I still listen to their album.
Seven Summers, everybody.
They were great. And they still are great, which is even better.
Even without Matt.
And they won. They were fantastic winners as well, because they really didn't expect to win. But, you know, Matt went on the X Factor, and him and the lady Rebecca, I think her name was, who was up in the final two with him.
Rebecca Fraser.
She was brilliant. He was brilliant. They were both talented human beings. Now, if that fucking freak of a man, what's his name? Wagner.
Wagner.
If he had won, I'd have gone absolutely mental. Now, for me. So is your dog just going mental because some program particularly?
Yes, there was an animal on the telly and my dog barked it. Anyone who says that animals cannot see things on the telly, talking bollocks, because my dog barks at cartoon dogs. So, yeah.
Is it a bark of appreciation or a bark of lust?
It's get out of my ass. That's what he thinks is a window.
Is that why he barks at me?
No, I think he barks you because you stuck your dick in his ass once. But, yeah, so we were talking about Wagner.
Anyway. They say pets are like their owners.
But with the X Factor, I'm actually a fan of the X Factor. So I can make. I'm one of these guys. I will make a statement and I'll take it back 2 minutes later. Because that's the kind of guy I am.
See, I hate the X Factor. The first time I watched it was this year.
Because I watched a lot of it. And this is the first year. And now, because it's a Panic Award special, you're going to think I'm sucking up now because I'm going to mention his name again. But Matt is probably the best winner they've ever had, simply because his background is so vast.
It's music.
Compared to anyone else who's been on the show. And that's not me saying, because he's in the Panic Wars, I'm going to start picking him up now. Yeah. even before I knew, because I didn't even know he was in a band before. I at first thought he was just a painter, decorator,
yeah,
singing a song. That's what they made it out to me on the show.
Exactly.
It wasn't until later on I found. But then when they started talking about it, that he used to be in bands and he made songs and that, and he had his own writing, then I started thinking, well, he deserves to win because he's got a good voice and you can see him in the future.
I mean, I haven't watched any of the other X Factors. I did have a very negative opinion of it, and it is an entertainment show. But for me, it was the fact that he was allowed to get up on stage and play his guitar as well as sing, which instantly made him look a million times more comfortable because, I mean, he is a musician. But it's irrelevant, the X Factor bit in a way, because I like the fact that they won because I saw them not long after they first got together. I think it was their second proper gig. They were doing a bit on the side thing, coincidentally organised for the Fling Festival, which is one of our finalists for Best One-Off Event, up at Barhouse, who are also sponsored for Best Venue alongside
Best Venue,
various others, St Anne's Castle, Gonfleece and so on and so forth, and the Candy Club. But yeah, coming back to the point, Seven Summers, they got up and played, they were a new band, they got up and played, and they were as tight as a band that had been together 10 years. And for me,
that's because Andy was standing behind.
Now there's a headline for the Daily Mail. Host admits fucking Matt Cardle and the rest of his band live on stage.
Someone write in their blog now. Do it. Send it around. We'll start a viral.
He was very loving, and he still didn't take that fucking hat off. No,
I like that. I'm a fan of that. I've got one upstairs. I'm gonna go and put it on now.
You've got a hat on now. You can't put two hats on.
I can. I'm gonna start it off. I'm gonna do two hats.
What's going on? Your dog's going fucking sparko.
Dog's trying to nick Andy's beer.
Nothing nicks my beer.
There's nothing in it.
But yeah, so it is very interesting that the X Factor this year seemed to be much more about talent, and I think that's going to be shown when we see the actual music produced coming out of it. I think we're going to see a slightly different approach.
Definitely. So, do you know, like you said with the X Factor, you had the Jedward twins, the Irish X-Fork.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't the commitments, were they?
No, they weren't. They were as far away from the commitments as you could be.
Here's a trailer for the commitments.
Hey, what's this?
What's what?
Have you got soul? If so, the world's hardest working band is looking for you. Contact Jay Rabbit.
I'm putting a band together. Do you need a singer?
Wise men say...
Who are your influences?
Led Zeppelin.
Sinead O'Connor. Barry Manilow.
John Baez. Johnny Mitchell.
Wings.
Well, what kind of music are we going to be playing, Jimmy?
Soul.
Soul?
That's what you've got to measure up to, lads.
Well, like, maybe you're a little white.
See, that's like a... Considering we were talking about... We talked about Slade.
Yeah.
We talked about Dr. Feelgood in City Confidential. And we've also talked about Almost Famous with Stillwater. And technically any band around 70. Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much basic. You're looking at
the commitment. Three rock and roll bands, technically, alright, so maybe Slade not. Maybe I use Slade. But they were at the time, they, you know, they wanted to be.
Glam rock.
And here you get a couple of pasty, ginger Irish folk singing James Brown's soul music.
It was a weird topic for them to touch on with the film. I mean, Andrew, I can't remember the fucking ginger brat's name, the guy who sang. He was incredible. His voice is amazing, and it's an interesting thing for me, which I often go on about, the crossover of musical genres. But in the Commitments, you've got people who are definitely rock or metal people, who if you put on Trial of the Tenderness, as you know, in the background now, will sing along and go, "This is a fucking wicked track," because all music inherently has some good to it. And I think that's what the Commitments was about, was showing that even a soul band made up of white Irish
Gingers.
Nobodies could still be popular and perform well and make a good film as well.
Yeah.
That was the longest, most rambling bunch of crap I've said in ages.
I doubt it. I think we could probably find something you've said before. I think people who've ever seen you on stage can probably disagree.
Anybody who's ever spoken to, we can be honest.
Do I sound offish of you? Do I sound...
Is it because I said I would fuck you but only if you had a bag on your head?
Yeah, I feel a bit... Why would you fuck me? No, I don't want to say no. I don't feel bad if you said that.
If you'd finished the question, I'd have given you an answer.
See, this is what I'm worried about.
Fear and safety. I'm on my own. In your eyes.
Normally, I've got Billy. Doesn't do this. Billy doesn't threaten me with like rape. All that.
I didn't say anything about rape. I didn't say I'd tie
you
down.
Threaten me, he's just, you know, he's just asking me out.
Hook up a greenie and thumb it in. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, my God. He's harmless, folks. Don't worry. See him on stage. He's not really this bad.
Coming back to the music, of course. The thing with the Commitments there is that crossover of appeal. People love the Commitments film and the music in it from all kinds of walks of life, even if they're a bunch of idiotic metalhead twats. Not all metalheads are twats.
Just some.
But there are some. In particular, I think you have a good example.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
That's Spinal Tap there.
Inspiration.
The greatest band never to exist.
Yes.
And they're amazing. And that film's amazing.
It's an amazing film.
And they literally take everything we watched, say like with everything you've seen from the 70s, and they kind of went, this is it. This is the band you really wanted to see. And you watch it and you're like, this is fucking amazing. These are idiots.
It's exactly
made,
right.
It made me smile.
They took every story you'd ever heard about bands, every
Ozzy Osbourne and all that lot,
and they condensed it down into the pure stupidity of what it really is if you put it in the spotlight.
You could
which
say.
Which is, it's blokes being a bit of a dick.
Yeah. You could say they amped it up to 11.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Because it's one louder.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there were bands out there who'd actually done it. You know?
That's the thing. Some people are quite stupid out there, and most of them in the 70s on all them drugs are stupid as fuck. And there's one prime example of a band.
For the real life Spinal Tap.
The real life Spinal Tap. These guys.
Anvil was one of those bands that just put on this really amazing live performance.
They were a great band, yeah. I always liked Anvil.
In the summer of 1984, Anvil toured the world with the biggest bands in rock.
These guys are going to turn the music world upside down.
All of them sold millions of records around the world. All of them, but one.
One thing that's really good, man, is that we found those sleeping bags.
This is where we learned how to play.
We're like brothers.
We were just innocent kids. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Crappy productions. Crappy management.
My name is Tiziana Rigoni, manager at Anvil.
It looks like she's booked us a tour.
England, Belgium, Germany. This is going to be the biggest tour I've done in 20 years. When I work at Choice Children's Catering, they don't know that my band even exists.
Welcome to Romania.
The place is jam-packed.
Given your reputation, you should be playing in front of 1,000 people every night, and you are not.
We missed our dream. Hi. It's so unprofessional what we are going through.
Who's the guy that's supposed to pay me?
It's been nothing but a nightmare.
For a long time.
It's so unfair to Anvil. It's so unfair to Anvil.
I stay dedicated to what?
Rob, I don't want to fight with you.
Who's the closest person I got in the world?
I started out with Rob when I was 14 years old, and he said, we're going to do it till we're old men. He really meant that.
They should have made it a lot bigger.
Is I think even he knows at the end of the day, know. The family is what's important.
I always believe that.
And the story
is always away.
That's probably one of the
best.
about the real life Spinal Tap. Fucking great band in a lot of ways. You know, they've stuck out, they've got some interesting and some very good music as well. But they played along like Scorpions, they played alongside there and these other big bands back in the day.
Bon Jovi?
Went nowhere, Bon Jovi. And they went nowhere, despite, you know, a little bit of recognition from their peers. And the film traces their attempted comeback yet again.
But most bands that attempt a comeback make a comeback.
Yeah.
This band attempt a comeback with little fucking...
Very small, yeah.
And one of the main reasons, if you watch the film, is that their manager is some Lithuanian bird. And she's shit. She is one of the worst managers I've ever seen.
She is truly shit.
And they can't just sack her because she's fucking one of the band.
Yes.
So they're pretty much stuck with this bird who doesn't know what she's doing. She's booking gigs in these tiny basement pubs all around Europe.
In the middle of nowhere in Germany.
With no promotion or nothing. And it's just full. And you just watch it and you're like, you couldn't write this.
I must say, they say the funniest things completely off the cuff just because it's their nature.
Oh.
But they also display one of the traits I've seen so many times in local bands, which I think is astonishing. They end up in a gig in some fucking borderline brothel in the middle of fucking Prague, and they're playing to three people. They're pissed off, but the second they start playing, they play as if they're playing Wembley.
Yeah.
And every gig they do the same. And that, I think, is fucking admirable. An amazing
and a bit delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit delusional.
And completely delusional and wonderful, and you are waiting for a tiny Stonehenge to drop on the stage behind them. But it's great that they try. And it's great they got some success from the film as well, you know.
Yeah, they did. They got called out when they went to Download. I think they got Download, didn't they? Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, fair enough. It's like a charity, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So any bands out there...
There's nothing like pity.
It was a pity invite. It had fans, and fans were like, oh, let's go and see that shitty little band that didn't ever make it.
Full of old men.
But yeah, so let's hope none of the bands that are up for Best Band in the Panic Awards ever get in that situation. Let's hope they all go on to bigger and better things.
They might do. To be honest, they're playing the Panic Awards, which isn't exactly the most glamorous occasion in the world. But
this is their Wembley, though.
It's an amazing chance to play in a proper theatre to 500 people.
And Andy.
And me, yeah. Although I'll be watching from the wings.
See, he's going to be watching from behind.
I do. Especially the young ones. Stealing Signs, they're lovely, they are.
Stealing Signs, you get there, everybody. MySpace.
Lovely little
They
boys.
Still have MySpace with all their music. MySpace still the music.
I don't know, no, Facebook really. No. There's ways to hunt it down. I think MySpace is used still. We've got, you know, fantastic bands in the best band category playing on the night of the awards. Cause we've got 10 awards, and we've got all the finalists and best band playing during the course of the evening. We've got The Foo, which is kind of funky beatbox electro hip hop, which is mental and great and wonderful.
Everyone loves a bit of that.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is. We've got The Ukes, who are a ukulele orchestra.
I need to see that.
Absolutely brilliant.
I want them to win. I'm allowed to say that.
There's a couple in it who I designed the kitchen for a few years ago. Lovely couple, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Nice people. But yeah, they're a very good band. We've got Never Means Maybe, really sort of hardcore. Your dog's making noises.
Didn't like that, though.
Okay. really sort of hardcore. I never know how to describe music, but they're sort of metal. Thrash, but with a bit more melody, a bit more sense of musicality. Very tight, very together, very popular. We've got Stealing Signs, great sort of indie rock outfit.
The Young Boys, that's what they are.
Yeah, they're lovely, they're young. They could be raped by the end of the night.
Panic Awards, would like to mention that that won't happen.
It won't happen.
On stage.
It won't happen at all. we also have the amazing Jamie Williams and the Roots Collective, who aren't young boys. They're mostly far from it. Sorry, guys.
They're old.
But they are old, yeah. They're middle aged. They're getting towards a handful age. But the thing is, they've stayed musical, they've stayed with it, and they've stayed,
Are they dads with guitars?
As a bunch of people. They're not dads with guitars, they're a bit more cool than that. You know, you've got Jamie and his wonderful sound up front, and then you've got this whole collective around him. And they're really good.
Bands are fucking awesome. You know, my bands like that, they've got to push harder. like I said, if you're a young indie band, straight away you're into that niche.
Not be funny, I know Jamie Williams, and the last thing I want to do is turn around to him and say push harder. I don't want to be in that situation, Adam.
I didn't say push harder or anything like that. I just said, you know, they've got to push harder in the fact that
push harder with their instruments.
The niche with like young boys, the stealing signs bands, the young kids, they're kind of already there. Like people expect them to be like that. But if you get a band where the people are older, people then start to think, oh, they've been around for years and haven't made it.
It is more difficult. Yeah.
And it's a day to, and you've got to admire them. And then you think, if they're really good, then you think, they deserve my attention.
I think it's getting better in a way because the people who were at the Corn Exchange in Chelmsford in the 60s, who fucking loved their music, who saw Jimi Hendrix play there, or saw The Clash at the...
Jimi Hendrix played in Chelmsford.
Yeah, yeah. There's a video of it on YouTube, mate. It's amazing.
Amazing.
My missus's dad's in the video. He was in the audience. But yeah, there's... You know, these people who grew up with this kind of music, you know, with The Who, with The Jam, with the, all of these great bands, they are now getting to an age where they want to go out and see music and they want to go out and enjoy it, but they're not necessarily going to be swayed just by the youth. So they will see a band that's a little bit older, who's got a bit of experience, who's possibly playing music that's more attuned to what they want to hear. So it is getting easier to get an audience if you're an older act. But, you know...
Good. I'm glad.
Some of the best musicians we've ever had have been older than most of the bands that are pumped through our fucking corporate-controlled iTunes account today. You know, look at... I can't think of any examples, Adam. Talk, motherfucker.
yeah, yeah.
There's some brilliant older musicians out there.
Old people with guitars. Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, Django Reinhardt.
We all love.
He didn't even have a full complement of fingers, and yet he still satisfied the ladies and the guitar.
At the same time. Amazing man.
Yeah.
Amazing. So yeah, so that's bad movies we just talked about.
I'm so glad you moved on before I could make a G-string joke.
He always lowers the tone.
Should we invite him back?
Should we invite Andy back? Email me at barkerpodcast@hotmail.co.uk or send me a message. Should Andy come back?
And if you think that I should have sex with Adam whilst he's got a bag on his head, email me at andy@panicawards.com.
Oh, don't. Please don't.
With drawings of the scenario, if you can.
Because apparently, if we ask people that and they do say yes, we are obliged to do it.
Yeah.
So, I will not be here in the next podcast because I will be in a cell somewhere crying after murdering Andy.
I'm going to stretch you like a wet seat, motherfucker.
Moving on. Right, then we're going to talk about... We've talked about band movies, movies about bands, movies with bands in them,
yep.
Band themes. Now you want to move on to films where they use movie themes. Actually, scrap that. I'm going to come back to that later. Because I just thought I could chew on that in with Sam Kells.
Go on then.
So let's start again. We just talked about band movies and people in bands and movies. What about the music which is used in movie films?
Movie films. I love a movie film.
Can I sell a movie film at the multiplex?
This movie film is nice. It's a nice movie film.
I love the way your cinema work. But this is
a movie film. So like, usage.
So like, just imagine a film with no music in it whatsoever.
It wouldn't fucking work. And I think what you're getting to is that the whole scenes, you know, where the right piece of music over a certain scene can change that scene from just being a purely visual or purely mental experience to being one that's fully encompassing all of your senses, obviously aside from touch, unless you're playing with yourself at the time. But the Reservoir Dogs scene is the classic example.
Yeah, Steelers Will.
Yeah, the ear being cut off while Steelers Will plays over the back. Very upbeat, slightly off-kilter song, gruesome, horrific, malicious
it
torture.
It brings a completely different element to the scene than if, say, a normal kind of little score was being played.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no music whatsoever.
And equally, it's about knowing when you can go that far. I mean, the Reservoir Dogs scene, that guy's ear being cut off, yes, you wanted something upbeat, but if they'd done Blue Danube, like in 2001...
Yeah.
That wouldn't have worked, because it'd been too far the other way.
It's going so far to a certain extent that you haven't gone off the page. It's like being on the set, it's being on the edge of it. Because what movies does with music and visual, when you watch a film, your senses kind of take on you, like you said. Your viewing, your sort of visuals, like seeing things and then how you feel about things. If you see something horrific, you feel like horrified.
Yeah.
Or dirty. Like there's scenes where films you feel, oh, this is really bad. Or if you feel something funny, you feel happy because it's funny.
Yeah.
This kind of took two elements of seeing, of about to see something going to happen, but then you're hearing a song which you kind of wouldn't normally associate.
It makes your brain work in different ways.
I mean, it messes you about. So then you're like, oh, I like this song. Well, why does he get his ear chopped off?
It's like taste is the sense that's most associated with sort of... I can't remember where I was going with that, really. But it's basically, when you smell something, the memory function kicks in much stronger in your brain than any other sense that you have. And yet, you associate taste and smell because they are connected and so on and so forth. You put the two together, the memory is stronger. If you put taste and smell and touch together, or taste and smell and sight together, so let's say you're smelling Bisto gravy whilst eating some Bisto gravy, whilst looking at a photo of a Sunday lunch you had back in 1986 when you were a tiny kid.
And that Linda Bird from the Oxo adverts. Even though Oxo and Bisto are not the same.
Linda Bellingham. Lovely girl. The more senses you stimulate with anything, the more strength the reaction has in the person. So with films, if you're stimulating, you know, your auditory senses, your visual senses, your...
I don't know what I'm laughing.
You're looking at me like I'm talking.
I just thought you said stimulation a minute ago, and I just kind of went off going forward. What was he talking about?
But it is true. Film, you have very limited senses you can stimulate. You can't stimulate taste. And touch through a movie.
Not yet.
But you can stimulate a broader spectrum within the ones that you actually have accessible.
Who knows? Maybe James Cameron might do a smell-o-vision method. Fucking Avatar 59.
Do you know, when you wrote down Andy talks arse for a bit, I think you did very well there.
See, I've got that in my script. Don't be sure, we don't have a script.
But no, it can make or break a scene if you have the right music. Great example, Face Off,
yep.
The Doves, the Firefight, all of this, little kid watching it, headphones on, and we're hearing what the kid can hear, which is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Judy Garland.
Which is a really it's not depressing, but it can
be... It is a bit depressing.
Depressing, or really nice. And it's one of those songs, and you listen to it, and it's like, Nicolas Cage just shot somebody. Nicolas Cage is getting shot at, but I'm listening to A Wizard of Oz song. So it's kind of, it messes you, and it works. There's examples in some films, which I can't remember, where they probably have played a song and it's completely gone off. And you've like, your brain is clever enough to say, that don't work. Don't like that. Shit. And that's it. So like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. World about to blow up. If it was a Michael Bay film, it'd be Jump Cut. It'd be Linkin Park. Wouldn't it? No. Louis Armstrong, Wonderful World. And it kind of, and then you, when the world ends, you feel like, oh, the world was ended. But you think, oh, what a nice way to go out.
Yeah.
If it went out with Linkin Park, you'd be like, bastards.
In the words of Douglas Adams, so long and thanks for all the fish.
Exactly. So there you go.
But that's the same with that mental film by the mental bloke about the mental guy, Donnie Darko.
And the Beagle Rabbit.
Yes. What a fucking great film that is. But the usage of the music in that. You know, not just throughout the film, but also things like Mad World being re-recorded for it.
Gary Jules, yeah.
Absolutely stunning. In the context of the film, especially.
You can hear it in the background. Such a nice little song. It's so depressing, this version.
It is. The original is a very different beast, but this so fitted that movie.
Well, that works perfectly with that film, because that film is so weird. And then when you're watching it, you don't really get what's going on, because the director kind of made it that way. He made it kind of like, it's my film in my head, just go with it. And if you stick with it, you get to the end where you see the kind of climax to all these characters. And the music, tenfold, makes it more dramatic.
It's a sort of culminary emotional implosion. I call it
an emotional fuck.
Yes.
You're emotionally being fucked by it. He is literally drumming into you. This is dramatic. This is happening.
You know what I
mean. Help me, please. But this is what happens. That he does.
So your girlfriend's happening,
yeah? She is.
No, sorry. Back to that. He does do this, yes.
Getting scared. I don't see Andy that. enough, and I think that's why he keeps saying.
You're going to see a whole lot more of me in a minute, Sean.
The podcast has come. It's my emotions. And my,
it's we're like 2 hours now.
We're like 4 hours in. That would just be great. So.
But no, back to Donnie Darko. It is an extraordinary piece of music to put against the context of that.
Yes, definitely. It's just like, it's like they put this dramatic scene there. Have you ever seen the film Irreversible?
Yes, I have, yeah.
And it's like the music used in that, right at the beginning,
incredible,
and right at the end. I'm not going to talk about the fight scene to you.
No, no.
Don't want to get you excited.
Although it is one of the most controversial, but also, I believe, interesting scenes in modern cinema.
Definitely, yeah. But it's the beginning bit where they go into the club. And they go to find the bloke, and that is a gay SM bloke.
Yes.
Filmed very weird, so you don't actually see it.
Yeah.
But the music is so overwhelming.
It freaks, like it is in a real club.
Yeah, it messes with your brain.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, turn the music down. Like.
Probably only the only club scene in the movie that actually looks and feels and sounds like a real club does.
Yeah.
Normally they're shit.
And usually, they, like in clubs, they talk to each other.
Yeah.
And you think, if I'm in a club, I can't hear a single word someone's saying.
No, no.
But this one, it is so overwhelming, and it's so in your face, and then he beats the bloke up with a fire extinguisher, and you're sitting there thinking...
Brutal. It is a brutal scene. But
that's fucking horrendous.
The build-up of the sensory assault of that music and so on braces you for that scene, but then suddenly it's this burst of energy on screen. It's this fantastic film.
And then it does exactly at the end, when the music gets louder and louder and louder and louder, and then it gets to the point where it just goes crazy.
Yeah.
And apparently it gets to a pitch where it's so loud, it's almost supposed to make you feel nauseous. And he did that on purpose.
Is that a bit like the Brown Note?
Oh, is this
do you know
reference?
About the Brown Note?
Is this a sexual reference?
It's a thing from, I think it was the 70s, but people were saying that somehow a rumour started that there was a particular note you could play that caused people to defecate uncontrollably.
Shit.
Exactly. So you've got bands, you know, supporting Pink Floyd trying to make the crowd shit themselves by playing with notes. Actually, there is a certain bass frequency that if you've got incontinence, it will actually affect your bowels and bladder and make you need to go to the loo. But I'm not going to crap myself.
None of the bands at Panic Awards will be trying to make anybody shit.
But I will be playing the Brown Note constantly, which is not a euphemism.
It's a euphemism. So watch out, Stealing Times. He has an agenda.
I'll be playing your Brown Note like Stevie Wonder.
If we can get Stealing Signs to listen to this, do you think, should we make them listen to it after the
They're lovely boys, they'll find it funny. That's the good thing about
They really?
It. So, yeah. Everybody involved in the Panic Awards is lovely.
He says that.
Genuinely, it's a joyous experience for me every year. So, it's lovely. I'm just a sort of figurehead as well, so it's...
You do have a kind of character face on you, like...
A characterful face. Did you just say you're an ugly cunt?
No, you know. You
is that
like
what
a,
you said?
No, you have an easy face.
Using the words characterful.
You have like a you know the sprite, a 7-Up Fido.
I look like Fido Dido.
Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, I've got to add that to my list. So far, I've had a look like the Bastard Offspring of Mark Lamar and Sean Locke. I look like Where's Wally? The guys from Lazy Town.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Lazy Town.
It's the cartoon hair. And now Fido Dido. I quite like Fido Dido. I thought he was the coolest thing in the world when I was a kid.
It was a fucking cartoon.
Yeah?
He didn't have any TV show, he was on a fucking advert.
I went to a grammar school, there was nothing cool in my life.
Went to grammar school, everybody. Explains a lot. So. But yeah, so like, we talked about them music being doing it. But also, there's scenes in music, scenes in movies where they use music to kind of create something new. So I'm getting
they create movie.
They movie. They start with the same fucking letter. You know, and there's a film.
I know this is interesting because I haven't seen this. Right. So
there's a film called 500 Days of Summer, which I don't think anyone's seen.
It's got
brilliant
Joseph
film.
Gordon, Elevan Johnson,
Joseph
McKenzie,
Gordon
Love
Elevator, and Zoe Deschanel.
Zoe Deschanel. Yeah,
she's
yeah.
very nice. And it's literally it's a romantic comedy.
Do you like Zoe?
That's right.
Do you like a bit of Zoe sex?
And the
say
film,
yes, to sample their context, that's
great. Oh, fucking God. Where's Bill? Bill, come back.
Her surname sounds like a dessert you buy in Asda's.
Sounds like, I thought it sounded like a perfume.
Would you like a pot of Deschanel tonight, darling?
Sounds like a perfume. What would you like to try?
Deschanel. That's a bit French.
I don't think she's French.
Don't get French.
Oh, she's looking in my eyes, everyone. If this was a video podcast, this would be pure, like, perverted.
I'd have to put my trousers on. That's a start.
It's true. He's got his dick out. Right, yeah, 500 Days of Summer. It's the story of a guy, Joseph Gordon Elevator, who meets this girl, and yes, he likes all the indie stuff. He likes, mm-hmm, the Smiths. He likes all the stuff that people don't like. Well, I say don't like, not mainstream.
Do like but don't like, yeah.
Yeah. And he goes out of there, and what it is, the 500 days from meeting her, going out, mm-hmm, and then him finally getting over her.
Yeah.
So in between, they go out, get together, split up, meet up afterwards, have a thing, and all that. And about, it's told like a memento style.
It jumps between the
so it's not conventional, yeah, but good. And there's like one great scene where she's had sex with her for the first time.
Okay.
And he gets up, leaves her apartment,
bring the
and this song, yeah, comes out. And he's literally walking down the street, smiling.
Look, that's lovely.
And it's Harrison Ford. Everything is happy. Everything is going his way. His vision of the world being great.
See, that reminds me of a long version of the scene in Big, when he's had sex for the first time.
Who's watched Big?
Oh, I'm old.
I don't even know. But look, he's walking down the street, people are high-fiving him, shaking his hands, congratulating him. He just, you know, he's had it off with a bird. And he starts dancing.
He really layered on the romance there.
Yeah.
It's amazing, everything's happening, there's coordinated dancing, yeah, there's Paul Oates playing in the background, people high-fiving him, because he's just had it away with a bird.
Yeah, exactly, that's what happened, that's
hanging
your life.
Hanging out the back of the bitch.
Can you imagine him walking down the street, then down Molson Street, high-fiving, but he'd get punched before he even got to the cathedral. You know what I mean? He'd get to KFC and get smashed up by Chad.
I punch him.
I love Joe Gordon.
He's brilliant.
He's amazing.
He was great in the Rock from the Sun.
He was great in that. He was also great in Inception. He was amazing in a film, a little indie film called Mysterious Skin.
Ah, now I've heard of that, but I haven't seen it.
Very good. It was based on a book.
I'm being licked really, really forcibly.
See, you want to be raped? My dog will do it. That's what happens. Yeah. Better get down. But yeah, that would be what that music, and that music really gets you going. You know?
Oh yeah,
fucking brilliant, man! He just had sex.
It's fist pumping music.
If you were a virgin, you watched that.
Let me rephrase that.
Fist pumping. You said fist pumping, everyone.
You were saying if you were a virgin and you heard that.
If you were a virgin, you're watching that. That's what you would
think. That's what plays in your head.
You'd be like,
time,
that's
yeah,
going to happen when I have sex on my 41st birthday. If that's what's going to happen.
Adam, think back a couple of months. Your first time having sex.
Couple.
And it was an amazing experience and weird and wonderful and all of that. But when you walked away the next day, no matter how bad the actual sexual experience was, you still walked away thinking, "Hooray!" And something like
anyone.
That was in the back of your head. You know?
It should have been. I didn't high five anyone, but I almost did.
I think it says a lot,
I hadn't washed my hands and I needed to get rid of
it. It says a lot about me. The song stuck in my head at that particular moment in time was Nancy Boy by Placebo.
Is that because you fucked blind Brian Maloka?
No, it's because I did my makeup in my room. I doused myself in cheap perfume, put eye holes in a paper bag. It was the greatest day I ever had. Actually, it wasn't. It was terrible. She called me George all the way through.
Is that a true story?
It's true. That is,
see, that.
It was fucking dire. I didn't even know who she was. Terrible. She didn't know who I was. She thought I was George.
George? You just raped some bird.
Maybe that was her fella. She just thought she'd gone home with her fella. And no, it was
maybe she had a thing about
18-year-old man.
George from Rainbow.
Or George Formby. I do look a bit like George Formby.
Did you have a ukulele? No, he had a banjo. No.
He actually played a banjo lady.
That banjo
just to really throw you.
Oh, fucking hell. Wish I hadn't even started that. Let's rewind that. Yeah, George Formby. I know.
Music in movies.
Yeah. When I'm cleaning windows. So that was obviously. I can't remember what I was talking about.
500 Days of Summer, Hallmates.
He just had sex, yeah. Okay, get over it. It was fun. But the great thing about that, the next scene after that, he goes to the elevator, all happy and that. Then it goes, day, I don't know, 400.
Mm.
And he's all fucking dishevelled and upset and down. And it's a great mood swing. Because you're straight away going...
Honestly, I've been in it for ages, so...
You have to. Fucking sitting there wasting your life away doing stuff like panic wars, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
It is great. Well, so that was like they used music in the movies, like scenes, and it wasn't none of them songs were specifically made.
No.
Like I said earlier, there's songs that are made, like Bryan Adams and Celine Dion for Titanic. They're written for the
film. Aerosmith. They're only UK number one. Also happens to be the only song they've released that they didn't write entirely themselves.
Exactly. So, you know, that's how it works out. But they have these films where they put the two together, where they actually get actresses and actors to start in a movie where they also do the music as well. Like Madonna.
Yeah.
Well, she can't even act herself. You ever heard her in an interview? She sounds like she's reading from a script.
Mm.
She sounds stupid. She can't even put a right accent on. One day she's not Australian or American or English. Wherever she is, she's got an accent on. Where is he? You don't like her? No? You don't like Madonna?
We have a Madonna hating dog
here. Yeah, sorry, Bella.
Which is funny because Madonna is also a dog, so there's a sense.
We hate Madonna. Let's look at Madonna's filmography.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
It's better than looking at her. So it's like a lamb shank.
And then tell me if any of these films she was any good in, right? Obviously, I'm not going to start the little tiny ones out.
Desperately Seeking Susan, not very good.
She done the music, bad. She Crazy for You and that, wasn't
she
it?
She did indeed, yeah.
Right.
Shanghai so,
See, she's a Shanghai, never heard of it. Who's that girl?
Oh, no, shit. No? Yeah, good song, shit.
Bloodhounds of Broadway.
Yeah, never heard of that.
Dick Tracy.
Oh, no, you see, that's the only one where she was alright, but only but because
the film was that
barely
great.
In it.
And the film wasn't that great.
It's not great, but it's interesting.
You look a bit like Al Pacino in Dick Tracy.
Thank you. Do you know, there's so many ways that's insulting.
Oh, it was meant to be insulting.
That's good. That's
it wasn't
good.
Meant to be a nice thing. Getting
you
back.
I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh, here you go. League of Their Own.
That's a shit film. Don't you dare say that's
yourself.
A good film.
I quite like that film.
Oh, what is wrong with you, man? Next thing you know, you'll be telling me D2, The Mighty Ducks, is a good film.
But they won the Olympics. It's amazing.
See, not a patch on Cool Runnings. Feel the rhythm, feel the ride. It's bobsled time!
See, Madonna should have been in that.
She should have been in that. Quacked up. That would have been brilliant.
That's not controversial, anybody. But League of Their Own, Tom Hanks is brilliant in that.
He is good in it, but then
there's no crying in baseball. Brilliant line. What a great line that is.
Get out.
Because there is no crying in baseball. Gets my fucking ass.
Body of Evidence. Now, that is a shit film. Okay, Madonna. I never want to see Madonna having sex. I also don't want to see Willem Dafoe having sex.
Is this a Scorsese film?
Don't make that happen.
No, that's another one. I know.
Oh, that's fucking grim. I mean, Willem Dafoe. Oh, he has a face like a scrotum. He should not be dripping wax onto Madonna's breasts.
Nobody should. Because she will melt.
She would melt.
Because she's a dirty, dirty little woman.
She's disgusting. She looks like my knuckles.
I hate Madonna. And it annoys me that everyone goes about she's the queen of pop.
She's not the queen of pop. She has done some good tunes. Gotta give her that.
Like Lady Prayer. Guy.
I'm up on the dance floor for that, brother.
God, he's so gay.
Sorry, are we off to meet Charlotte later?
Gay night. There's no question about it. She was in Four Rooms, which is the segment. It was the Tarantino.
That is
Rodriguez,
a shockingly odd.
Four films.
Yeah. Interesting, but not good.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Poorly
executed. Yeah.
So.
Massive problems with that.
Evita, another Alan Parker film, which we said earlier. Alan Parker made the commitments. He does not understand how to make a film that will stand the test of time.
No,
all
they,
his films.
They do date terribly.
It's
every
like,
single one.
It's like he uses a specific film and says, like a camera says, this camera will be out of date by next year.
Yeah.
So let's use it.
He comes so strongly from the background of advertising, much like a lot of very good Hollywood directors. But I think his films age like adverts do. They're interesting to look back on as period pieces. So like Evita, I must admit Madonna was actually very good in that. She sang it very well. She performed very well
in
the role.
She's singing most of the film.
Yeah.
Less acting, more singing.
It's a...
And Puss in Boots, and Puss in Boots is in that film as well.
Yes. Antonio Banderas. Yeah.
So how bad he would hate that. If I've met Antonio Banderas, the films he's made,
Puss in Boots.
Said Puss in Boots is the one I remember you for. He'd be like, what about Desperado?
Is he from Cornwall?
Is that a Cornwall people? See, I haven't been to Cornwall, so I'm not
going to get
there. The next best thing.
Shit.
With Rupert Everett.
Yeah. Shit. Truly shit.
Swept Away, which was one of the worst films ever. Die Another Day, where she's uncredited. Bloody good.
So she should be, yeah.
Because apparently you get uncredited, you don't get any money from it.
Jesus.
And that's it. She has not acted in a movie since.
Good.
And good. That's because you stick to what you do best. Well, actually, that's a bad saying because she doesn't even do that anymore.
No. I have absolutely no time for it, to be honest. But
let's move on.
Yeah.
So, but I had other people down on the
list. Any woman that looks like she's been made out of cocktail sticks and foreskins is not a good person to be a fan of.
Cocktail sticks and foreskins. Kylie Minogue. Which is funny, right? Because she was an actress first, then made a couple of films and looked really bad in it.
Yes.
Which is amazingly...
It's because she's talentless and looks like a horse.
She ain't no Danny Minogue, I tell you that.
Danny Minogue, Jesus.
You met Danny Minogue once.
Wide-faced mannequin freak.
What was she like when you met her?
She's lovely, actually. She's very pleasant.
Did you call her a wide-faced mannequin freak?
I didn't know. I was a sycophantic fuck.
Was she like, oh, I love your music?
Oh, darling, you're wonderful. No, she's a very pleasant lady. Very pleasant lady, so.
Very small, yeah?
She's tiny, yeah, yeah.
Did you pick her up?
I did. I wore her like a puppet.
Oh, what dream. Cher.
Cher? I've never worn her like a puppet.
You wouldn't. It'd be like wood. She's so hollow inside her face.
It would be like sticking your finger up a Barbie. It'd just be all plastic and nasty.
She won an Oscar.
She did, yeah.
She's
Mars,
an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Mars, it was for Moonstruck.
Oh, did she not win for Mars? I don't think you're right, actually. Yeah, it was Moonstruck.
That's
wasn't
a
it?
Chicken,
I think she was nominated for Mars with Eric Stoltz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, not the mask.
Not the mask with
mask.
John. Yeah, mask. Yeah, yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. I know my shit.
Oh yeah.
High five that. What am I doing? Yeah, I'm looking to see what she won. Well, fucking show me then. Tell me. Actresses. She's only been in 18 films, which is surprising, to be honest.
Yeah.
She was in Mask before Moonstruck.
She's good in Witches of Eastwick as well. I like that film.
See, there you go. Actually, you could probably say that she'd probably get away with actually being not too bad of an actress.
At times, she's been very good. At times, she's been shocking.
It looks like she kind of seems to have picked films.
At points, she's picked really good films. But then she's just made Burlesque with fucking Christina Aguilera, who I
was next on my list.
Just the other day, Christina Aguilera now looks like a woman wearing a bad Christina Aguilera mask. She just looks fucked.
She does, actually.
She's not good.
Fat, isn't she? And I don't mind the girls getting fat, but when
fucking charm for somebody, I don't mind the girls getting fat. Bring it on.
I think it's when I don't know. I think there you go. One free Oscars. Here we go.
She was very good in Moonstruck. Wonderful film. Nick Cage is
yeah, she did. She
film.
Won it in best.
There you go. You're right.
Leading
you're right.
role.
Was she nominated for Mask? I'm going to jump back and see.
Yeah, go back and have a
otherwise look. I'll get caught up myself.
Did she ever write songs for the movie she was in?
With Mermaids.
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah, it's in his Kiss, whatever song she sort of performed all that. So you go. So look, they constantly do it, didn't they? Like Kylie Minogue went back. She's done The Delinquent. She's done Tears on Your Pillow.
Nominated and won Best Actress for Mask as well. So she's won two Academy Awards.
No, she didn't. That's a Cannes Film Festival.
Okay, Cannes Film Festival. Same fucking thing.
No, that's French. Who cares about the French thing?
I do. At this precise moment and for the next 20 seconds.
Have your 20 seconds gone.
Yeah.
Celebrate for 20 seconds.
Yeah, amazing. Oh yeah!
For being wrong.
Ooh.
Mask one, best makeup.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. The geezer looked quite good.
Go fuck yourself. Dog's licking me bits again.
Yeah, so like Christina, she wrote songs for that Burlesque film. I've never seen it.
Yes.
I don't intend to see it.
I have no intention of seeing that film at all. I can't think of anything worse than seeing Cher and Christina Aguilera half naked and singing.
Well, depends how drunk I get. I think there's other things I might watch.
Well, that's the level of the man, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. Britney Spears, she's in that film Crossroads.
She was. I haven't seen it, I must admit.
Oh, it's a terrible film. I'm even embarrassed that I've actually seen it.
I don't like her face. It's horrible.
No one likes her face. She tried to shave it off.
Oh.
And missed. Took her hair off. And she sung songs in that. So, yeah. You know, I've gone through five names and they're all writing songs. Jessica Simpson. She's done Dukes of Hazzard. Poor film.
Oh, I haven't seen the remake. I couldn't bring myself to it.
She wrote a song for that. Beyonce. She's done Dreamgirls. She sang a song for that.
You see, a lot of people love Dreamgirls, but I've
never seen it. Apparently, Eddie Murphy's good in it.
He is quite good in it, but then, you know, he can be good. He just hasn't Eddie been Murphy good is for good, 27 years.
He just decides whether he wants
since
to be
slating gay people and AIDS victims back
and in then, Raw. Then, and then shagging a transvestite prostitute.
What? Spice Girl? Mel B?
No, Eddie Murphy got done for...
I know. I was making a joke, Adam, about Spice Girl Mel B looking like a transvestite prostitute.
His words, not mine. But do you look at the blokes who have been in the film?
There's some good blokes.
I feel like I might be in a little bit like I made the list up on purpose. to pick bad.
You skewed it.
Yeah,
entirely.
But it's my show and I'll do what I want. It's David Bowie.
Right. Occasionally brilliant, occasionally not so good. Man Who Fell to Earth. Papillon. Not Papillon.
He's brilliant in Labyrinth.
Good Night, Mr. Lawrence.
He's amazing in Labyrinth.
He's amazing. His cock's amazing in Labyrinth.
I never noticed. Charlotte notices.
Women do.
They a lot of men and women that would if you mention Labyrinth, they say the size of his package when he's seen. And you know, I noticed the puppets.
Yeah.
Not the one down the trousers.
I think that says a lot more about you than it does about the women.
I don't fancy puppets. And I always thought Labyrinth was a bit weird because he was perving over Jennifer Connelly, who was like 15.
She was 15, yes.
Just because you're a Goblin King doesn't mean you can have who you want.
We all perved over her as well, though.
No, she had big slug eyebrows then. She's better now. Then she had slug eyebrows. 15-year-old. If she was at my school, she would...
You don't mind if they get fat. If they let their eyebrows grow, they're out the door.
Sort them out, Susan Boyle. And you got, like... 50 Cent and Eminem, like rappers. Because you've got a list of rappers.
Sorry, I thought you were still talking about people you fancy.
Eminem.
Yeah, 50 Cent, really well but Eminem, I thought
and
was
he
very
is actually
good,
one of the things where he done really well in the film, wrote a song for it, and the song was really good, and
yeah,
won an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
So he kind of then literally pissed a load over them.
He crossed a lot of boundaries there.
Yeah, 50 Cent, I don't know if he's that good of an actor. I've seen him in a couple of films.
He held his own, but he wasn't brilliant. But I've seen him, and he's all right. He's all right.
Roger Daltrey, an old school one.
Yeah.
From The Who.
Great.
He was great in a film called McVicar.
McVicar is amazing. The naked except for a protective item for cooking. What would you call it? An apron. That's it. The woman cooking in breakfast, that scene is fucking incredible. Absolutely brilliant. And he is very good in it.
And they mention Chelmsford Prison in that film.
They do indeed.
Amazing.
Wicked place.
Of course, this is a Chelmsford local. Panic Awards is done in Chelmsford. Yep. There you go.
As was I.
Fuck you. Yeah. And the Kemp brothers, Martin and. What's the other one called?
Ross.
Not Ross Kemp. Yeah, the Mitchell brothers starring in The Craze. Now, who's the other one? You got Martin Kemp, Gary Kemp.
Yeah,
the one who fucked
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, he fucked Patsy Kensit.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he actually married her.
Did he?
Yeah, poor bastard.
You're full of facts.
Mm.
You should do a podcast about film with people who don't just talk shite.
Exactly. Why are you here? I surprise myself with the amount of knowledge I know.
Yeah.
Get me down to quiz night, people.
Yeah.
I won't win you fuck all. You're going to ask me questions about history. I'll be like, whatever. Yeah, they were in the Craze, weren't they? They didn't do no music for that, did they?
They were in the film.
In the film, The Craze, and they didn't do any music for that. Can't imagine The Craze standing doing a little dance number, beating someone up with Paul Q.
If they then went into Through the Barricades by Spandau Ballet, that would be a moment of absolute pure joy.
That would have been a great scene.
Or goal. Always believe. I'm not going to sing.
He just did. And I'm going to loop it over and over again.
Right.
And the last one I put on there, the one I kept for last, because I think it's kind of literally just told you, this is what, if you're not good at one thing, go do something else you're mediocre at.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
The Funky Bunch.
Made a couple of good songs in the early 90s. His brother was more famous
than him. Sorry, did you say good songs?
Good Vibrations. Yeah, it's Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. It's a fucking awesome tune.
I'm going.
See you later. But no, yeah.
No, he was a very successful musician and a fantastically well endowed underwear model, of course, for Calvin Klein, alongside Herbie Kate Moss.
And his
well.
Brother, Donnie Wahlberg, who was in
Indeed,
New Kids on
yes,
the Block,
yes,
was more famous than him.
Yep.
And then Michael Mark went, fuck this, I want to go make some movies. And he made some movies, and now he's starring in M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening. Right, that's a bad example. Right, he gets nominated for Oscars for The Departed.
He's done some shitty films along the way, but he's, you know, The Departed and also this year The Fighter, which is a brilliant
film. He can pick them, but he can also really ruin like The Happening and the other film he done where he's really poor in it.
He's fucking shit in Max Payne, but then that
should
never be
made. Stupid films like that.
So
but
don't take a really good game and try and make it into a film that bears no relation to the game. You're an idiot if you do that.
Exactly. Word from Andy Paul there.
Yeah, my word is law.
I am the law.
I'm important. I'm a very important man. I've got leather bound books.
He's man having a midlife crisis.
What do you mean midlife crisis? I'm barely even 27 yet.
How old are you?
30.
30.
31 in 4 weeks.
And he's sitting around here talking to a computer.
You're a computer. My God, you're good.
I'm an android from that film with androids in.
In which case, it's not technically rape.
Oh, here we go again with the rape. Every time. I knew I shouldn't have invited you.
You brought it up.
Well, that's
what you will do.
Right, so moving on to... Well, we talked about musicians making songs for the films, right? The Forgotten People was when I talked about earlier and I kind of went back on it, is movie themes.
Yes.
Most important, I think, is the film, because it tells you what the film's going to be like. I mean, if you have a horror film, you're going to have a really dark, moody, ominous score. If you have a comedy, it's going to be kind of funny.
Harp and upbeat. And
if it's going to be a drama, mellow, you know, that's how it works out. One of your favourites, which you told me to get up, you told me to put on there, was Blade Runner.
An incredible piece of score.
How'd you say his name?
Vangelis. You can say it either way, I think. So.
Vangelis. Okay. So what do you like about this? What's so amazing about this?
It's the fact that it's a perfect meeting of various things. The time in which the film was made, the time... and therefore the music of that time as well, you know, what synthesizers and such like, but also the marrying of the man's style of music with the film style. The film is an incredible film, it's beautiful, it's stunning, it's interesting, it's evocative, it's wonderful, but the music needed to be something that could push that along, that could give you ethereal highs when the scene demanded it, but could also give you really dramatic lows when needed too. And Vangelis really stepped up to the mark. He gave you this driving, pumping theme that just what's going to happen is what goes through your head when you listen to it. What's coming up, what's going to be the story. And then it devolves into various different variations on that theme throughout the film. It's incredible. I didn't think I could talk that much about that.
That's quite impressive, actually. So if you took that out, yeah, would the film be less good?
Yeah.
Less good.
It would. It would literally be a less good film.
There you go, quote me on that. Exactly.
It really helps lift the movie into a higher strata of entertainment.
See, how you think about that from Blade Runner, Ridley Scott, like classic cult sci-fi movie, I think that you're saying about this, if it wants to play. Daft Punk's Tron Legacy.
Now, why... Should we listen to it for a second, or before I start ranting at you about it?
Hey! Behave yourself.
Yes, Adam.
Yeah.
So why do you feel so
because when I watched it, like Tron, I thought it was the most clever thing. Like, when I went to see Tron Legacy, like, I'm a big fan of the original. Tron,
so,
like,
yeah.
Proper 80s. Yeah, I mean, even though it's kind of its limits, when you're in the grid and it's limitless, and kind of like, there's no time, it's a computer.
Yeah.
But when you go and see the second one, you know it's 25 years later.
Yeah.
You know it's up to date. But technically, when you're in the grid, it shouldn't be out of date, it should be exactly the same. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
And they took the 80s theme, which was played throughout the grid, and they just amped it up and just said, this is the same. Little bit more modern, and it kind of, it could literally be the same fucking song.
Yeah,
this is amazing. I think it works brilliant with all the scenes that they go around, and that it makes the film 10 times better.
I totally agree with the music side. I haven't seen the film before, so
well, without the music, the film wouldn't be that great.
Mm.
And to be fair, probably more of a fanboy nostalgia thing pushes my review of it. If not, like Charlotte went and saw it with me, and she watched it, and she doesn't actually never seen.
But the soundtrack's incredible.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. Dark
Park genius. It's absolutely.
And they done really well. Genius. They brought. It's like when you go and watch a film, you want to be, especially if it's a sequel, 25, 28 years later.
Yeah.
You want to kind of feel like you did when you first watched it. He did that. Oh well, they did that. Dark Park made you feel that.
Made you feel a 5-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Made you feel a 5-year-old.
Daft Punk made you feel a 5-year-old.
That's going in my court report.
It's just the next album.
Out of hand, I tell you, this is going crazy. But no, you know, you get all that. Like, John Carpenter does the same with his films. He does Halloween and all that, and the music in Halloween. Oh. If you took the music out of Halloween, Halloween would be half as
effective. Takes away most of the tension.
Exactly.
You took away
the thing, it's tension, suspense.
Yep.
The film, the music is like a character in most films, because the theme has, it's like Inception. I think the best thing about that is it Edith Piaf?
Yeah,
Je ne regrette.
The way they
play that music to remind you of when they're in the dream, and like you said, the different layers.
It's
and then
an
the slower it goes, it's brilliant how it's done. And a lot of people won't really realise that Edith Piaf song they use to wake him up, the theme from Inception, where it's like, right, is actually the song at a lower bitrate.
Mm.
That's all it is. And that's amazing, really. That's really like, interesting, I think. People probably like,
awesome.
Couldn't give a fuck.
But to be honest, mate, we're about 4 hours in, so I think people have turned off by now, so we can say what we like.
We can. Monkeys.
Edith Piaf fucked a goat and had children with it.
Okay, well, now, that's why I left the theme to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play a game.
Okay.
Not a dirty game. Nothing like that.
Is it a game I'm going to enjoy, Adam?
You might have. You probably won't. You'll probably be like, what the fuck is this, Ad?
So I'm glad you're getting in before I slur my speech, but it's something to look forward to.
I need to find it first. I'll tell you what. Okay, so we're going to do a game which I originally made for you versus Billy.
Are we going to play a game, Mr. Barker?
I want to play a game called Name the Movie Theme Game. See, really inventive name there.
Brilliant.
Because the whole idea, what would you get? What do you reckon you have to do in this game?
I would bet money I need to name the movie theme.
So he cracked the code. That code. That's exactly what you need to do.
It was an
I have 20 themes from films. 20. 2-0. A lot of
20.
20 movie themes.
Same as my age.
Exactly. Plus 10. And all you have to do is tell me what film it's from. Now, there are some really easy ones in there.
Good.
Which you're going to get like...
It's going to help.
Easy. I'm the best. I know exactly what that film is. And there's a couple in there. I say a couple because I don't know how good you are. That you will have no idea what they're like, right?
Excellent.
So,
if I'm shit at this, can we just scrub it from the podcast?
No. Not at all. Not a chance. Right. So, here is the first one.
Thank you.
Alien. Or Aliens.
Nope.
Alien.
No. Batman.
What?
Tim Burton's Batman. That was. I'm really not prepared because I should have the rest of it, really, shouldn't I?
That shocked me to the core.
I could actually play you the rest of it.
I feel really bad now.
You should.
No, I can hear it now. You'd say, fucking shoot me now, yeah.
Yeah, see? So, there you go. That's one crossing that off. Bad start, Mr. Paul.
Do you know what? I think that was used for the Amstrad CPC 6128 game of Aliens.
I don't think it was, because that theme was made in 1989 and that Amstrad game was probably made in 1987.
Yeah, yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Full of knowledge, mate. Full of fucking knowledge.
Full of something.
They call me Mr. Fucking Knowledge. My spunk is fucking knowledgeable.
Is it?
Yeah. Number two.
Feed me your knowledge, Adam. Feed me your knowledge. Go on.
He always finds a way. Always finds a way. Right, number two. See if you get, I bet you don't get this one.
I'm pretty sure that's Danny Elfman and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Is this really hard? Because I thought it was really easy when I was doing it.
Go on.
That's the Amityville Horror.
Oh, fucking hell. That film shits me up, man.
That's why you completed that. Right, you're going to get this one. You will get this one. This one will be easy.
Go on then.
What was that one then?
When you said, wait until I pause it, I wasn't listening. That was Beetlejuice. That was.
It was Beetlejuice. Well done. That's one right.
Wow.
Now you're all excited to get a sense of euphoria.
I fucked those first
two. Yeah, you've really messed yourself up because you could have got. I thought you were going to hit a clean sweep.
Yeah.
No, you messed it up. Shit.
I've had a lot of growth.
What's that excuse?
I think it's a very good excuse.
No. Because memories do not get lost by booze. They only get remembered. That's a true fact.
That's philosophy. Though.
Philosophy right there. I'm an abused child. Right, number four.
You will be.
What's this one?
Oh, that's...
I thought you had it. I thought you had it.
I did.
Come on, Andy. Mr. Music Man.
Oh, it's not No Country for Old Men. It's not.
Could have to rush ya.
I know it. So when you say it, I got it.
That doesn't count. Brokeback
Mountain. Brokeback Mountain, of course, yes. Played over a scene in Ray Mears last year, which made me laugh my ass off. Bollocks.
Okay. Alright. You see, I'm doing very well. I thought you'd do really good at this. Right, number five. Creepy.
And it is.
I'm not giving you no clues. I'm going to be an arsehole. I'm not giving you any clues.
The Shining. It's. This is scintillating listening. This is.
If anybody can, this man can.
What?
That's a good clue. When I tell you the name of it, you're going to be like, oh, that's actually a very, very good clue.
Fuck me. Stand in front of a mirror and a black man will appear. Oh no, that's possibly not the best. Candyman, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yes.
Can I just strike from the record, stand in front of a mirror and a black man will appear?
It's not racist. There's no racist context in what he just said at all. Right, okay. Well done, you got that after my little clue, I think.
Thank you.
If anyone can. Yeah,
well, yes. I was thinking Canon. I'm thinking cameras? What the fuck?
Alright, number six. You won't get this one.
Late '80s, early '90s. It's yeah. Fuck it. Just tell me.
Commando.
Jesus Christ! Of course.
Are these hard, or are you just not very good?
No, I'm just not very good.
I hope so, because I thought it was really easy. Maybe I'm just being eager.
Just rub it in, man. Yeah. Rub it in. Maybe slowly, gently.
My ego.
With your nose.
Right, you'll get this one. That was E.T., yeah?
Yes, it was. E.T.
E.T.
E.T. the extraterrestrial. If you can give me the full title of E.T. the extraterrestrial, or the extra testicle, as I nearly said.
E.T. the extra testicle.
Look it up, it's fascinating. It did have a full...
Did it? What was it?
Carry
you,
on.
You tell me.
No.
I didn't know there was no style. Maybe you're making that.
And right, no, bring it up on IMDb.
Yep.
Right, and it's amazing because when you see the posters,
yeah,
you suddenly think, oh my god, yes, of course. But it's a whole.
E.T., the 20th anniversary.
Extraterrestrial.
Says that there, yeah?
Oh, okay, it's not on that poster. I've got the poster at home.
Just tell me him because...
And it's his Adventures on Earth. It's a ridiculous subtitle.
Oh, is it? His Adventures on Earth.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not the title of the movie.
No, it was literally the title of the movie. And then when they rebranded it, when it became a big hit, they took it out because everybody was calling it E.T.
E.T., His Adventures on Earth.
And they had to add the extraterrestrial because they didn't think people would understand what E.T. meant.
That's true. What's E.T. short for?
Because he's only got little legs.
Exactly. Boom, yeah. So he went on a course. Andy went on a, he went on a comedy course, so he knows what the internet is.
Boom! What do you call an explosive primate?
What?
A baboom!
Did you pay for that course?
No, I didn't.
Oh, who paid for it?
My partner did.
Fuck, he's got it easy, man. Easy life. God, well, she'd pay it because she doesn't think you're that funny. She's
yeah, like, that's basically
you
it.
Trying to be funny. She went.
I think the idea was it would knock it out of me.
She went, Andy, you're not funny. I paid for to go over a course to realise how unfunny you are. And then I'll send you an Adams, and then I'll realise how unfunny you are because Adams is so much funnier. Trademark.
Didn't work. I'm the motherfucking laugh-o-matic funny machine.
Yes, I have the ability to edit you out. It's just me talking. I wouldn't do that. I don't edit this. Just let it play. It goes out how it's recorded. I don't even check this. I don't even listen to it. It's not what you're listening.
This is 2 hours of somebody's life we're wasting.
Exactly. Well, yeah. They're fine. All right, number eight. How are you thinking? I did that for a reason, because I knew you'd say that. Actually,
it's
come on, that's dead air then.
With five seconds, bad thing.
I weren't paying attention. I was looking at your list, and you were sitting there just staring.
Go on.
Escape to Victory.
That's a fucking shocking film. That is.
Sylvester Stallone plays the best goalkeeper in the world. He doesn't even know how to pick the ball up. He just punches it.
He does have a look on his face throughout the entire film.
He could be a goalie.
I have no idea what football is.
Could not be a goalie because he's too small. No. He's tiny.
Pull him back!
Right, number 9. You should get this one. That's the theme tune that women usually hear when Andy's around.
I'm pretty sure you see, I can see it over the credits and I'm thinking Psycho.
Don't be a dick. I didn't put Psycho on this list for that reason. That is so, you can know what Psycho is just by the first.
But it's,
this is embarrassing. Somebody,
it doesn't sit with the Saul Bass titles of Psycho. It's, oh no, that's is that Halloween?
No. Friday the 13th. This is embarrassing, people. We're at number 10.
Why didn't we do this at the start when I hadn't been drinking?
Because you would have only got, you're probably less right. Because you're stupid. The beer's making you clever. He's the host of the Panic Awards, dedicated to music and arts. And he doesn't even know what the Psycho
is. I'm really good with movie themes as well.
No, you're not.
Normally I am.
You got three right.
Three.
What do you know?
Just say three.
No. You got Beetlejuice right.
Let's just say five.
E.T. right. You got less. No, you got Candyman right. No, you didn't. I got Candyman for you.
No, I got Candyman.
No, you didn't.
No, you gave me a canon clue.
All right, you can have Candyman. I'll give you that one. Yes, he did. You got three right then. Right, you'll get this next one. Anyone?
You keep saying that.
I know. I fucking. I'd be a crap.
You're putting me off.
I'd be the worst host in the world. You just drop your face.
Thank you.
I'd be the worst like quiz host as well because I'd be sitting there going, "You'll get this next one right." What's the blah blah blah? And they'd be like, "I don't know, mate. You fucking idiot."
What's the count? Guatemala.
Yeah.
You'll get it right. You will.
It's easy because I've got it written down. And
what's my favourite smell?
Yeah. What am I thinking right now? What's happening outside right now? Right, you get this one.
Right.
No, you seriously will. If you don't, I will punch you in the face, and that will be great podcast.
That's good. Bit visual.
If you get this wrong,
if I get this right, I'll fuck you in the face.
You won't get this. I'm gonna skip to the next one. No, you will get this one.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I was tempted to literally just play 2 seconds. When I was editing, I thought I'm just gonna just play 2 seconds.
Fuck in the face time.
All right, let me pause it. Right, we're back. That wasn't actually very fun at all. My face is full of bruises and
I feel disconsolate.
See, he talks the talk, but when it happens to it, he's the one who comes off looking bad. I'm alright.
You used your teeth, man.
I'm immune to the dirtiness of the pool. You're a dirty pool, you know that?
I'm a dirty pool.
You're a dirty, possessed pool.
Chlorinate me.
Fucking hell! You're not being invited back. Right, okay. Number 11. What was that?
Monks?
Yeah, there's a film called Monks, yeah. No. One more guess. No. Dead air.
No, not got a clue.
Gladiator.
Fuck it, now.
I'm actually glad Billy weren't doing this, because I don't think Billy would have got hardly any of these. And I would have been like, twat. You'd be like, no. No. What's this one?
Oh, I haven't got a fucking clue.
That's a great theme, that is. Brilliant theme. Hellraiser.
Oh.
That is a freaky theme, man. Especially when you see it in the beginning credits.
I'm not a big fan of Hellraiser. Good film, it fucks me up.
Yeah, it scares you out of me. I got excited to watch it, and I was like, I watched it when I was a kid, and I was like, this is freaky shit, got to watch it.
I love the character design of the Cenobites.
Said to Charlie, you need to watch it, it's fucking crazy. Didn't help, it doesn't hold up very well.
No?
And I was watching it, and she was like, really, Adam? Really? And I was like, it was scarier when I was
but
nine.
The geese with the teeth.
And the bird with the fucking, she's got her tits out.
The design's still good, though.
They're remaking it with Clive Barker's actually, so he should be good.
And he's wicked, actually.
Have you ever heard Clive Barker talk?
I have, yes.
He sounds weird, doesn't he?
He does sound weird. He's got a weird mix of accents.
Is he from Liverpool originally?
He is, yeah.
And so he's
up near there.
He's got like a Northern American accent.
It's a really odd voice.
Really weird.
Clever chap, though. Very clever chap.
Anyone out there, just YouTube Clive Barker, listen to his voice, and then come back to us. Funny, isn't it? Right, next one. 13. Still got it. I don't think you'll get it, actually, there's a couple on this list that you will get. You'll get this next one.
Yeah.
I hope you get this next one. I think you'd get that one because we've been talking about it.
It's Tron Legacy, yeah.
No.
No, it's Inception.
Yes. It's Tron Legacy, yes, it's Tron Legacy. We were talking about Tron Legacy.
Oh, I'm going to save up some bile for you.
Right, you'll get this next one. Like no, you will. This is not just me being a dick.
You're going to get some fun goo.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Fun goo?
Fucking wrong.
Who calls it fungu?
Fungu.
Manjuice?
No, I'm not gonna get involved in your dirty games.
Sexy fluid?
Oh, what's this?
That's trumpets. That's what I can tell you about that.
That's fucking easy.
It's fucking trumpets. Dam busters. Fuck it, I don't know.
It's Indiana Jones.
It's trumpets.
It's boom.
Adam, that's trumpets.
Boom. Oh, what's this next one then?
Are you taking the piss? Are you just pandering to my low IQ?
I kept this and I actually had you down for this one as well.
Yeah.
I had him like, yeah. Billy does this one, you do that one, Billy does this one, and you do this one. I thought,
yeah.
Did you get, what is it then?
That one?
Yeah.
That's I Spy.
I Spy with Eddie Murphy in it.
No, hang on. Let me guess again. It is, let me think. Showgirls.
No.
Is it James Bond?
Yeah, what James Bond?
Oh, you want me to name the specific
John
Barry adaptation?
Go do it. What is it?
Doctor No.
No, Octopussy.
Fucking hell.
No, he was dead. Of course. I mean, you fuck out. You know that. I won't mess with you. So you get that one fucking wrong. Yeah.
I hope your mother's proud of you.
She ain't.
It's not what she told me.
Ooh. Mum joke. This far into the podcast. At least it ain't about me. Right, you won't get this one. No, it's not this, it's this.
Time as Poltergeist. Christ, it's something on those lines. I can't think. No, go on.
The Fog.
Bollocks, yes.
Bollocks, big fat hairy bollocks. What's this one? You're 30 years old and you don't know what that is.
I know it.
No, you don't.
It's in my head. But what is it?
Home Alone.
Oh, fuck me.
How did you not know that?
Did you just go for every film that I'm not going to know?
These are fucking classics.
Sorry, hang on. Let me just reassess what you just said there.
Oh, not classics.
These are fucking classics.
Yeah.
And the last film was...
The Fog.
No,
Home Alone.
Yeah, keep up. and that's a classic, is it? Much as I'd like to slam
email me
Joe Pesci's face.
Email me at barkerpodcast@hotmail.co.uk and tell me whether you think that Home Alone is a classic, because it is.
Honestly, though, I've only seen Home Alone, I think, maybe twice.
You're the person that wanted the robbers to get the kid, didn't you?
Yeah, fucking right.
Yeah,
and do some naughty shit to him.
Oh, John Hughes would not be happy with you, man.
I bet he would. He's another Pete Townsend. Just for research.
He's dead now.
What, Pete Townsend?
No, John Hughes, he's
dead. I know.
Lower the tone, Mr. Paul. Lower the tone. Right, okay, come on, we've got three more left.
Kids are in the house over Christmas, I'll give them a present. I'll come down this chimney.
Really?
I bet, yeah.
No, it's not. It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, Jesus. It's the same film.
But that's weird, because I was actually going to put The Rock in it, and I didn't think it would. I thought...
I'll tell you what. We'll sit down. I'll play The Bad Boys, The Rock, and the Pirates of the Caribbean theme tunes. They're all the same.
Yeah? Probably the same person.
It is the same person, yeah.
Same with Danny Elfman. He plays the same stuff.
Yeah.
Right, okay. What's this one? Good.
Good now. Hip hop are coming.
What was that one? You're half right with the open mouth wide.
Well, that's just thrown me.
Well, I'm really clever, aren't I? I'm really equipped with my blues, aren't I? I don't just lie and I just give the clues. Just
tell yourself what you want and get you by every day, mate.
Yeah, I'm really good at this. Come on, I'm going to put a cross already.
I don't know, but I do recognise it.
Scream.
Oh, fuck me, of course it is, yeah.
And they're making a Scream 4? Well, it made a Scream 4, it's coming out.
And hopefully it'll be good.
It will be good.
I didn't like anything other than the first Scream.
I
didn't like 2 and 3. So.
2 and 3 were a little bit... No, not rubbish, but I think because the first one's so good and...
They didn't live up to the...
They kind of like, yeah, it's good. Right, last one.
But the first one's fucking
Let's
great.
See if you can redeem yourself for this last one.
It's not going to happen, is it?
I think you will. You'll get this one.
Yeah, you think I'll get this one?
You'll get this one.
Yeah, press pray. Pray?
Let's
do you have a pray button? Fuck are you doing to me? Have you just brought me on here to humiliate me?
I think I have.
The fuck is that? Is that the Pelican Brief? I don't fucking know.
That was The Shining.
Oh, and that was The Shining.
It was The Shining, because you did it earlier and I thought you did it again. Right, so you got one,
12. 12 out of 20.
You got 6 out of 20.
I did.
She's pretty bad, Andy. I'm a little bit disappointed.
I think what you meant to say is that's amazing, considering the number of numpty films you put in there.
Maybe I was a little bit harsh. maybe I was trying to be
you too... Were, honestly, there was a couple in there I just could not get at all.
Maybe I was being too clever for my own good.
I could not get.
But, so really, what we've just learned there is that Andy, the host of the Panic Awards 2011, is not very good at naming movie themes. Which is that going to affect your hosting skills on a night?
Fuck no.
Let's talk about the Panic Awards now. We've pretty much talked about anything but the Panic Awards.
We have, yes. I suppose, yeah, summing up the video, we should... The video? This is a video. Fuck me, if it's a video, I definitely need to put my trousers back on. No, to sum up the podcast, it really is... The Panic Awards is a fantastic little event. It's a big thank you to the local community who promotes live entertainment of all kinds, and genuinely a good night out. If you come along at the Civic Theatre on the 19th of April, it's a Tuesday night, I know it's a pain in the arse, but it's £6 to get in, it's fuck all, and you will be guaranteed a wicked night. It'll be funny, it'll be entertaining, and you'll get to see 7 of the best bands locally play, and you'll get to find out who wins 10 awards. And
Ted,
believe me, the people involved in those 10 awards, the people nominated as finalists, are awesome. Go to www.panicawards.com to find out more. Check us out on Facebook, Panic Awards 2011. We are there. We are all over it like some kind of nasty rash you might catch from Adam.
A nice rash. A rash, yeah. You'll be kind of proud of.
As a good friend of mine once said about a woman who was a bit clingy with him, he pointed out, "She's all over me like a polyester fire blanket." Nice. Which I always thought was quite nice. Nice.
Yeah.
That's what we're there for.
In insult, but yeah, you're on Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
We are on Twitter as well. #PanicAwards or @PanicAwards, whatever Twitter is.
They're on @PanicAwards, but on Stephen Fry's Twitter.
We are.
That's what it is. And yeah, so you're on Facebook. No doubt you give out the email address. Yeah, you got an email address?
Anyone? Email address. Yeah, email me at andy@panicawards.com if you have any questions, queries, or desire to be involved.
Yeah.
And incidentally, I would like to point out, it is an entirely voluntary thing. No one gets paid for it. Every single penny goes to charity. And this year our chosen charity is Scope, which is the disability charity. Wonderful work they do. And they probably wouldn't approve of most of the things we've said tonight.
Oh, no.
So
Scope did not have any association with...
No.
No any association with this podcast. No one does. I tried to get Panic on board. They told me to fuck off. They said, no, we can't have you.
Panic's a fucking brand with tastes.
Nasty.
But I would like to say also, on behalf of Panic Awards and myself, and a drunken evening of having a laugh with a mate, thank you, Adam. Cheers for letting me be a part of this.
You just shook my hand. Nothing else. Well, usually we normally end the podcast with me asking the question, what the fuck does Billy know about music in movies? Billy isn't here. He hasn't been here for the last 2 hours. It's been Andy. So I'm going to ask Andy the question, what the fuck does Andy know about music in movies? So what the fuck does Andy know about music in movies? What do you know,
Andy? Everything and nothing.
He's such a dick. I can tell you what he knows. He knows fuck all about themes, I'll tell you that. He knows 6 out of 20 good themes. I bet you people out there knew more than you did.
I reckon so. I think we should find out.
Email me at barkerpodcast@hotmail.co.uk or message me or join the group Adam Barker Podcast, which my mate Joe, I don't even know, he set it up.
Did he?
He did.
That's nice of him.
I have a fan. Ooh. One fan.
Wow.
Excited. He's not going to kill me, is he?
Have you had any reviews on iTunes yet?
One from him.
I'm going to do you one tomorrow.
And then he'll do a review. Okay, so we're going to sign off. Anything else you want to say about Panic Awards?
Go to it, buy a ticket, Civic Theatre online, search Civic Theatre in Google, you'll be able to buy a ticket online or by phone or by going to the box office in Chelmsford. Your very good self. It's on the 19th of April, it's fucking brilliant, nothing to be missed.
And I know it's been a long podcast, but thanks for listening, if you have. I feel bad now because we put all the main stuff that we should have said at the beginning and right at the end, and
yeah,
no one's listening. But
no one's fucking listening.
If you are,
you can say anything you like right now, Adam.
If you are, well done you. And if not,
tell people what you really think, Adam. Tell them what you told me beforehand.
What a load of fucking...